the final installment on God is good. This started off to be a 4-lesson teaching, and we're on number 8. But this is it right here. Go to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs 3. We're actually probably going to be looking at this for a number of weeks here, but I tell you what, this is a Proverbs 3, 5. This is a powerful piece of scripture here that I've been meditating on, and the revelation in it is just tremendous. It's just an awesome piece of scripture, and there's so many things to be said about it, and we're going to talk about it a little today. Proverbs 3, 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. Acknowledge Him in all your ways, or in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. How many people would like to have God directing your path than you directing your own path? I'll tell you what, there's nothing like getting direction from God. And it says here that if we trust in Him and acknowledge Him in all of our ways, He'll direct our path. But we're going to have to give up our path and give Him and take up His path. But how many know that His path, you can't fail? There's no failing His path. It's a perfect path. As we're going to discover, He's got that path planned. Now, if you want to buck the path and go your own way, then the consequences are yours to have. But it's so much sweeter to just yield to His path and go His path and His way. Remember, we just read that He made us wonderfully. He knew all of our parts. You know, before we were even born, He already had the plan for our life. And I think but a fraction of His people actually get to walk in the fullness of their path. I know, it's sad, isn't it? And I think a secret here is right here. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. That's powerful. I mean, what we're being told there, there is safety in that. If we're willing to trust Him. He has a path for us. Go to Psalm 77. Psalm 77. And verse 16. Psalm 77, 16. The waters saw you, O Lord, O God. The waters saw you. They were afraid. The depths also trembled. The clouds poured out water. The skies sent out a sound. Your arrows also flashed about. The voice of your thunder was in the whirlwind. The lightnings lit up the world. The earth trembled and shook. Your way was in the sea, your path in the great waters, and your footsteps were not known. You led your people like a flock, and by the hand of Moses and Aaron. I want you to notice that what they're talking about here is that God had a pre-planned path in the water. Let's read this now from the New Living Translation. This is the New Living Translation. It's a lot more clear in this. When the Red Sea saw you, O God, its waters looked and trembled. The sea quaked to its very depths. The clouds poured down rain. The thunder rumbled in the sky. Your arrows of lightning flashed. Your thunder roared from the whirlwind. The lightning lit up the world. The earth trembled and shook. Verse 19. Your road led through the sea. Your pathway through the mighty waters. A pathway no one knew was there. Now they're talking about Moses leading Israel, and really it was God leading Israel through Moses, to the Red Sea. He said that they got to the Red Sea and there was already planned, already mapped out, already road markers under the water. Nobody could see them but God. But they were there. That path was there, waiting for them. And they were led to the mouth of that road that was under that water. They followed God's path. Had they not followed God's path, they would have not been at the right appropriate place in the Red Sea that was already planned for them to cross. We don't know the things that God is preparing in front of us and moving things like chess pieces and on our behalf behind the scenes. The things He's already prepared. And how important is it for us to be following His path, to be acknowledging in Him in all our ways and letting Him direct our path, because it's His path. That's the safest place we can be, is to His path. He's a good God and He wants us to prosper at every turn. And He wants to direct every turn. He wants to fulfill that thing in your life. But you have to trust in Him with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. So that His goodness then can impact your life and you can live a better life than you're living even now. Well, by grace we're saved. Doesn't this all come by grace? Yes, it's provided by grace. He made that pathway by grace under the sea to prepare them. But you have a role to play, and that is by faith, allowing Him to steer your path and so that you could take His path. You're going to have to be a surrendered person to Him so that you can obtain the maximum benefit of the things He has for you. Are you hearing me? So He prepares His path, a path no one knew was there. God had a pre-planned pathway through the sea. Only God knew it was there. And even though you may not understand, God, I surrender myself to You, you're probably going to have me do things that is out of the norm. It's out of I normally take care of situations this way, this way, this way, this way, and I get X amount of results. But He's saying, lay that aside, trust in Me, and sure, your method of doing things has gotten you this. But if you'll trust in Me, if you'll allow Me to guide your path, and you walk down My path, you'll benefit like this. But you're going to have to trust Him with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. And Israel followed this man named Moses, who's following this pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And they're just going, this doesn't happen every day. This is highly unusual. But we're going to do it. God told Moses, He says, I want you to tell the children of Israel, before you leave, I want you to go to the Egyptians and tell them, I want your gold. I want your silver. I want your raiment. I want it all. Now pile it in My wagon. Now, can you imagine the slaves telling their masters, pile up your goods in My wagon? And they went, okay. Now, He had a path for their prosperity, but they said, now that sounds crazy. We're just not going to go there. And walk out of Egypt, they would not have had all that gold, all that stuff. Huh? Lean not unto your own understanding. I told, Sherris and I have talked about it over and over again. Don't just let your job income or your this income, whatever you're used to getting, whatever, don't limit yourself to that. There is innumerable things that God can do to bring wealth and bring things to you. Don't limit Him just to your measly ways of the way that you collect your silver and your gold and your... And those are blessings, but man, don't limit Him. Let Him direct your paths. This is a reference to Moses in the Red Sea. Whatever situation you are in, God has a path through it. I don't care how difficult your situation is right now, He has a path to go through it. But you're going to have to trust in Him for that path. Because you probably don't see it right now. But trust Him. Acknowledge Him in everything in your life. Make Him first place. Amen. This is important. It's the key to living. Any barriers or walls that come up in front of you, God has a path to victory. The Israelites were on their way to fulfill their calling from God to possess the promised land. God is always working behind the scenes. Even when it seems the darkest, God's working on it. This revelation is important to keep us trusting and enduring to the end. Wow. Exodus 13:17. Since we're looking at, it's in reference to what happened there at the crossing of the Red Sea, let's take a look at it and see what kind of revelation we can glean from that. Exodus 13. Let's look at that instance. I think I blew it. That doesn't look right, does it? Exodus 13:17. Why doesn't that look right? Is that right? In my other Bible, I've got it all marked up and stuff. In my new Bible, I don't have it. Oh, yeah, that's it. Amen. In the New Living Translation, Exodus 13:17, in the New Living Translation, and when Pharaoh finally let the people go, God did not lead them along the main road that runs through the Palestinian territory. Even though that was the shortest route to the Promised Land, God said, if the people are faced with a battle, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. So God led them in a roundabout way through the wilderness towards the Red Sea. Thus the Israelites left Egypt like an army ready for battle. Wow. I know we have a map. It's hard to see here, but... Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Can you see that? I know it's kind of tough, but if you can see right here, this is where they were released. They could have went straight into Canaan like this, but God didn't do that. God led them in a roundabout way, away from their destination. And God did that for a reason, for a purpose. First of all, they were ready to obtain the promise. They had some things that God had to work out with them. And so they followed a path that God had predetermined in that Red Sea. He needed to take care of their enemies. And that path was pre-made. Now, I know that this is... They don't know for sure where it, you know. But we know that they diverted the Israelites down south, way down in the Sinai Peninsula, and brought them back up this way. I mean, way down, and then brought them back around. I mean, and they wandered around in the desert out here for a long time before they finally crossed over to obtain their promised land. And God knew what He was doing. If He'd have had them go straight in there, they would have been wiped out. How do we know that's true? Because the first time they were hungry, they were ready to go back to Egypt. Part the sea, Lord, we're going back. As soon as they got a little grumble in their stomach, they're going, okay, You brought us out here to die. Let's go back to the leek and the onions. If they couldn't even stand that, how are they going to stand up to the giants? And ultimately, when they did poke their head inside the promise, they saw the giants and went, not going there. But was God directing them? God's trying to direct their path, and they're going, no. Because in their understanding, which we're going to get in here, I'm getting a little ahead of myself. So let's just stick to the plan here. So God, in His mercy, channeled them off in the other direction, and He brought them to the place at the Red Sea where that path was already formed. Isn't that awesome? I mean, if you let God direct your path, He's going to set you up for success. He's going to land you right in the perfect place where, bam, you're delivered from things that have been plaguing you for years, and all of a sudden, you're going to be in a situation where you're prospering like you've never prospered before. Spirit, soul, body, financially and socially. If you let Him, if you trust Him to direct your path. And it says that in all your ways, acknowledge Him. That means in your job, in your marriage, at school, at home, with your kids, in every area of your life, acknowledge Him and He will direct your path. And whatever area you're not willing to acknowledge Him, you're on your own. I don't want to be there. I don't want to be there. I want to be where God wants me to be. Man. And so at that point, that's what it... So Exodus 14:10. And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were very afraid, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. At least they knew they cried out to the Lord. But then they do this. Then they said to Moses, because there was no graves in Egypt, you have taken us away to die in the wilderness. Why have you so dealt with this to bring us up out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. Man, this is the same people that cried out to God for deliverance. And He did all these mighty works in front of them. I mean, these were fantastic works to get them delivered. And the final one is that they told their masters, load up our wagons with your stuff, and they said, okay, let's do it. And walked away with all the wealth of Egypt. And now here they stand in an awkward situation here, and after seeing all the mighty things that God could do, and has done in the past, they think, well, now, after all He's done, He's going to kill us right here in the wilderness. He went through all that trouble to get us here so He can watch us perish. My brothers and sisters, what Jesus did for you on the cross was enormous. It took Him thousands of years to get Him on the cross for you. He went through a great deal of effort, pain, and patience, and mercy, and everything to get you where you're at now, not to see you now burn. Are you hearing me? You're too precious to Him. He worked too long and hard to obtain you into His kingdom and into His family to watch you burn now. He's never given up on you. He loves you, and He's got a plan for you. He's got a path for you. And if you can trust Him with your eternal destiny, surely you can trust Him in other areas of your life. Amen. And so here they are at the wilderness, and they're just having a pity party here. And they're saying, God, save us. And then they turn to the pastor. and you're not leading us right. We don't like the way you're leading us. Dadgum you. Who do you think you are? We trusted you. That's what's happening, isn't it, right here? When you are walking and leading in your calling, some people are going to disagree with where you're going. It's okay. That's common. Stay the course. And I know that Sharice and I, over the years, you know, I mean, we've probably preached and taught controversial things. They're controversial in that they go contrary to how the world thinks. I don't know if you've noticed, but sometimes, you know, we kind of go against the grain of how the world functions. And we tell you this because we love you. Not to on purpose try to offend you, but so that you can have the best quality walk with God that you can possibly have. I mean, we're sharing with you the successes that we've had, and we want you to have those same successes and exceed that. We love you guys. I can't tell you the amount of hours of prayer and preparation there is into these things because I want to give you the best of my heart and the best of God's heart to you every single Sunday and every day of our lives. Because we love you guys. And sometimes it's a stretch. That's okay. Stretching is good. We've been stretched. And at the end, we came out smelling good. So, you know, trust that what we're telling you, you're going to come out okay with this. Thank you, Lord. It looks like there's no way. This was natural as well, and stay the course. And, you know, God's going to call you to do things too. And people are going to criticize it. People are going to say, I think you're a little off the wall. Well, it's only because in the natural, it doesn't look like how that's going to work. But the Word says it works. And so we're going to do that. And you're going to have a tenacity on the inside of you. It's this way or the highway. And I ain't taking the highway, so I guess it's just this way. It's like when her and I entered into our marriage. We said divorce is not in our conversation. It's not in our vocabulary. So we're going to have to work this out. There ain't no other road. And when you adopt that kind of deal, it's like going, okay, then we're putting everything we can into this to make it the best there is. So let's get in the Word and find out how. We found out that if we made God number one in our lives, individually, if we love God more than even our spouse, then we're going to love each other more than anybody. I mean, it leaks over. That's a little secret right there, which shouldn't be a secret. Your personal relationship with God is so important to your marriage, to your kids, to everything else. So what they were looking at is, I guess this is as far as we're going to go. I guess it's over. I guess we're done. I guess this is the end of it. And yet the whole time there's a path waiting for their deliverance. And they're willing to give up so quickly and just run back into the arms of their captives. How many times did we surrender too soon? We were that close to our deliverance, that close to our answer. Well, I guess it doesn't work. I guess the Word doesn't work. Man, you got to stay with it. Stay with it. But how fun it is to win. Oh, it's fun. Don't you know the Israelites went from, we're all going to die, to look at them Egyptians sinking and swimming, man. Woo-hoo! We'll never see them again. Boy, the payoff was huge. Here are the crowds. Oh, there's nothing like going out and winning. Boy, but win is only for those with the guts. You got to have some guts to win. Wow, if you jump ship, all you get is wet. But if you stay in the boat, wow, what a ride. Man, the taste of victory, it's good. You know, I was just telling you about, you know, our taxes and our financial situation, and God just, punk, took care of that like nobody's business. Wow, standing on the Word and declaring and inviting God into our business was so key. I mean, every day. And even though, you know, we've gotten through that, I'm still standing, man, every morning. It's praise God. These are your promises, and I'm standing on them, and I thank you, Jesus, for them. Well, you don't even have them yet. They're mine. And I'm standing. And I'll tell you what, God comes through, comes through, comes through, because I'm acknowledging Him. His eyes run to and fro over the whole earth, seeking whom He can show Himself strong on behalf of. Those loyal hearts He's looking for. Anybody that's willing to surrender themselves to Him and let Him show Himself strong on your behalf, He jumps right in the middle of it. In fact, that whole situation right there was Asa. 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9. Is where that comes from. Asa was faced with 1 million Ethiopians coming to destroy him. And he cried out to God, and God destroyed the Ethiopians. And then the next thing you know, that Israel, the northern kingdom, is coming down to try to invade. And they're setting up camps and making strongholds. And instead of turning to God, he turns to the Syrian king for help. And it succeeded. And then the prophet of God comes to Asa and goes, "What are you doing?" God says, "I thought we had a relationship here. I thought you trusted in me. I mean, I long to be your champion. And you shut the door in my face." And God says, "Now, if you're going to trust in Syrian kings and other kings, says, now you're going to have war all the time." God was hurt and injured by that. It was amazing. And I looked at that and I said, "Dear God, look no further. Show yourself strong on my behalf. I'm willing to let you. I will acknowledge you. I will trust in the Lord with all my heart and lean not unto my own understanding and acknowledge you in all my ways and let you direct my paths. I am opening the door. Look no further. I'm your man." And He is moving so mightily in our lives. Wow. And I'm inviting you to do the same thing. Praise God. And it's never ending, the magnitude of this thing. I mean, we're barely scratching the surface. But we are enjoying our lives. God is so good. Man. When you let Him move on your behalf, it's like, you know, I was determined not to lose any sleep. And I'm glad I didn't. Because it became a non-issue. It was a non-event. The whole... Oh, praise God. God is good all the time. Man, He's good. They did not say, "Hey, look, see the path through the sea." You know, the Israelites couldn't say, "Okay, we got Egyptians behind us, but you know, if you look real close in that water, I can see there's like lights going like this in the water." They didn't have that. You know what? They didn't have Exodus to look back on and say, "You know, God's done this before." They didn't, did they? We have that advantage to look back and see the mighty works of God, huh? And what He's able to do. And this ain't but hardly anything compared to what He can do. And if He's willing to do it for them, how much more is He willing to do it for you, children of God? Wow. Exodus 3:8. Exodus 3:8. The Lord said, to Moses, "So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, to bring them up from that land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to a place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Havites and the Jebusites and the all the other sites." God knows who is dwelling in the land. He knows your situation. But He has prepared that land for their arrival, knowing that there are those obstacles there. But He's prepared a path. And you'd think that once they experience that path through the sea and all the other miraculous things that have gone on, and by this time, we're looking at, by the time they get up to the promised land and get up to the River Jordan to spy out the land, you think, I mean, they've got manna coming daily to them, water's pumping out of rocks out of the desert. There's quail falling out of the sky every day on them. I mean, who can whoop this guy? He's on our side. Well, two were convinced, Joshua and Caleb. And the other ones were like going, I don't know. This is going to be a tough one. I mean, quail out of the sky. I mean, that's easy. Splitting a Red Sea. I mean, come on. Who couldn't do that? But going into a land where there's giants. Oh, now that's where I draw the line. I think we're dimming the lights of heaven here. I don't see how God's going to come through on this one. Now, but you know, we giggle and laugh, but I'm here to tell you that how many miracles have God done in your life, and we still end up saying, I don't know if God can do this one. This is the big one. I'm coming on, this is the big one. I'm dating myself on that, ain't I? Ooh. Oops. But God said, which I am giving to the children of Israel. I'm giving to the children of Israel. It is theirs already. It's a matter of you stepping into it. It's already rigged. It's already done. You're going to obtain that which I promised you. That's what God has declared here. God is declaring, this land is your land. This land is my land. From the Mediterranean to the Jordan River. Numbers 13. Are you guys getting anything out of this? Numbers 13, 17. Numbers 13, 17, then Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan. Go up this way into the south, up into the mountains, and see what the land is like. Now understand, God told them, He said, I want you to look at the land and see if my promises to you are true. Is it a good land? Is it flowing with milk and honey? Is it inhabited by other people? Yes. God didn't lie to them. And He says, it's yours. Now listen to Moses here. He said, go up this way into the south and go up to the mountains and see what the land is like. He's good up to now. Whether the people who dwell there are strong or weak. Now did God tell him to do that? To consider whether these people are strong or weak. What's that got to do with it? God said the land is yours. Why are you considering something else? Few or many. Whether the land they dwell in is good or bad. Whether the cities are inhabited, are they like camps or strongholds? Whether the land is rich or poor. They should have never been considering that when they went in there. They should have only went in and said, yes, and this is what Joshua and Caleb saw. Exactly what God said. It's flowing with milk and honey. There is abundance and it's ours. Let's go get it. That was God's instruction. But no, The other ones are going in and going, yeah, but can we take these people or not? Are these cities too big for us to go into the promise that God has for us? Is the land really good or is it really bad? I mean, I don't know if we could. God didn't tell them to go consider that. He said, no, you're going to take this. It was them that made these determinations, thinking other than the way God thinks. And because they didn't take God's path, they took another path, they were defeated before they even went in. I don't know how God can do this. But Joshua and Jacob said, there's a path. All we got to do is go across this Jordan and it's ours. These people have nothing to do with it. I don't care what obstacles there are in your life. I don't know how big it seems, how overwhelming it seems. God has a plan. He's a good God. He's not going to carry him in there if they're not ready. He didn't before. Now he's ready to take him in. Everything's set up. Everything's ready. God didn't say, go see if that can be taken. He didn't say that, did he? His word is true. This is the land flowing with milk and honey. What difference does it make if the cities are strongholds or if the people are strong or not? God just said, I'm giving it to you. It's yours. Numbers 13:25. And they returned from spying the land after 40 days. Now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron, all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran and Kadesh. They brought back word to them of all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Then they told them and said, we went to the land where they sent us, and truly, it truly flows with milk and honey. And this is the fruit. And they carried this massive grape cluster with them. Nevertheless, we're going to take our path. I mean, here they are. They're declaring God's path, and then they go, nevertheless. And God's going, oh, no, don't do that. No, 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 no. The people who dwell in the land are strong. They should have never even been considering that, but they were told to. The cities were fortified and very large. They weren't supposed to consider that. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there, and the Amalekites dwelt in the land in the south. And they go on and on and on about talking about how we can't do this, we can't do this. And in verse 3 it says, then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. God's got a plan. He's got a purpose. He's got a path. I mean, we've seen enough evidence here that this God can do what he claims he can do. And he's for us and not against us. And we need to have that tenacity on the inside of us that God is for us and not against us, that he's Almighty God, and he is more than able and capable to take care of any situation in our lives. I don't care what it is. He's got a plan. He's got a path. Stick to the plan. Stick to the path. Stick to the word. What does the word say? Stick to that. It will pay off.
Yes, it will.
They'd be eating their leeks and their onions had they not stuck to the path that got them through the Red Sea, getting beaten, building bricks again. Thank you, Lord. Verse 31. But the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against this people, for they are stronger than we. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report. Now that was a bad report. Not a good report, a bad report. I think in the original King James it says an evil report. of the land which they had spied out, saying, the land through which you have gone to spy is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it were men of great stature. There we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak, came from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. Now go to Joshua chapter 2. And they refused to take God's path. And so they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. 40 years. Man. 40 years. Joshua 2:8. Now remember, they saw themselves as grasshoppers, and they thought that the inhabitants, the giants, thought that they were grasshoppers as well. And they would be devoured by the giants. Now listen, 40 years has passed, and Joshua's now taken over leadership, and he says, now we're going to go over and spy out the land. Here we go again. We're going to go over and spy out the land. Only this generation's learned some things. And they went across, and they spied out the land, and they got into the first city, Jericho. And while they were there, a harlot helped hide them, and was hiding up on the roof, and some people came in, and they checked out her house, and they couldn't find the spies, and so they left. She goes up on the roof and talks to them, and listen to what she says to them. I mean, this has got to break your heart. Listen to what she says to them. This is Joshua 2:8. And I tell you what, we could have had the promised land. I could have had a V8. I could have had the promised land 40 years ago. Listen to what she says. Now, before they lay down, she came up to them on the roof. And she said to the men, I know that the Lord has given you the land, that the terror of you has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land, that includes the giants, all the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you. Wow. So God all of a sudden put terror in their heart. Not all of a sudden, for we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt. The path was already laid for them. They were already terrified. The giants were running for the hills. And they didn't know it. They didn't know the path was there. They gave up too soon. For 40 years, their hearts have been failing them for fear of the Israelites crossing the Jordan River. They could have had it 40 years earlier. Don't give up. Do not give up. Stay strong. Stay in the Word. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your understanding. And in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. And you will succeed. Those guys had to sit there and went, oh, wow. It was already ours. And what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted. Neither did there remain any more courage in anyone because of you. For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and earth beneath. The giants were terrified. They saw the Israelites as giants. They looked at themselves as grasshoppers. Man, you've got to get an inner image of yourself that you are the giant in the land. Because of God that dwells on the inside of you. Because you're the child of the living God. And you can't be defeated. You're the giant. And there might be circumstances in your life right now where you feel like you're the grasshopper. You got to get it out. Get it out. You're not the grasshopper. You're the giant. Don't let the devil deceive you otherwise. He's a liar. He's a deceiver. I'm telling you, the only way you're going to feel like a giant is you've got to get in the Word, get in the Word, get in the Word, get in the Word, get in the Word. Spend time with God, your Father, and spend time with Him, cultivating that relationship. I'm telling you, and we're going to get in the weeks to come here, we're going to start a series on how to fear God. And we're going to find out what fearing God is and what fearing God is not. And if you learn how to fear God, you're going to be a mighty warrior. You're going to be awesome. Because you're in His presence. And you're honoring Him and you're respecting Him. And you're making Him first place in your life. And the benefits of fearing God in the Word is wow. I thought we weren't supposed to fear God. You're going to find out. Hallelujah. You guys are giants. You need to meditate on that all the time. Giants, giants. Say it, I'm a giant.
I'm a giant.
Arr. Arr. That's the way we ought to be. Arr. You don't have to turn to this for the sake of time. I'm just going to read 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. You can just write it down or quickly turn to it. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. As His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which, having been given us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. He has given us everything that pertains to life, that's physical needs, and to godliness, spiritual needs. You are equipped, and you cannot fail. He called us. He's already laid a path of success for us. He's already taken care of our physical and our spiritual needs. Thank you, Lord. Isaiah 1:17 says, if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. If you're willing to take His path, you're willing to be obedient to that path, then you're going to eat the fruit of the land. Woo-hoo! And I tell you what, Josh and Caleb, 80 years old, marched on in there, and they whooped the giants that were on the hill. Caleb says, I want where the giants are. When they crossed that Jordan River, he turned to Joshua and Caleb, 80 years old, and he says, I want to whoop them giants that 40 years ago that were rightfully mine. And he went up there and whooped them. 80 years old. And he still was ready to get with it. I've been waiting for 40 years to take that giant's property. I want their land. And Joshua goes, go get them! He was true to his promise, wasn't he? God gave him the land. They're the only two that survived that generation. He's true to his promise. If you're willing to take his path, he'll see to it, you get the victory. You get to win. And in closing, John 14:1, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would not have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. He is still preparing places and paths for us. We still have an awesome future laid out ahead of us, don't we? Stay the course. He's a good God. He did not tell you to go halfway over and sink. We're going to the other side. You understand? And you're going to have that tenacity on the inside of you if you're going to realize the dreams and the things that God has prepared for you. You may not see that path, but it's there. Placed there when God called you, even before you were born. The cards are stacked in your favor. And nothing can stop it. Come and taste and see that the Lord is good. Amen. Amen. Father, we just thank you, Lord, that we are victorious, that we are champions, that we are... Lord, if we're willing to put all of our trust on you, all of our trust in you, and lean not unto our understanding, but follow what the Word says, and have a tenacity to make you first place in our lives, that we acknowledge you in all of our ways, because we're going to trust the path that you lead us through. The path you set us on. Because it's a path to victory. It's a path to where we cannot fail. It is so worth completely surrendering our lives to you, Lord. Oh, man. Thank you, Lord, for giving us so many examples of your mighty hand overcoming things that were huge, that seemed insurmountable, but yet you, with your promise, listening to your promise, listening to your path, and following your path, success, 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 success. We cannot fail. Lord, there are many challenges in this room. There's a lot of people in here that have felt like they have dealt with a problem and a situation in their lives, and it's gone on for years, and it seems like that trouble is never going to go away. We right now, we yield ourselves to you. We will take your path. We will trust in you with all of our heart and lean not into our own understanding. Lord, we will acknowledge you in all of our ways, because you will direct our paths, and we're going to trust that path you've given us, Lord. We've exhausted our path. Our path isn't working. Our path isn't getting the job done. So we're taking another path, Lord. We ask you to correct our path and get us back on your path so that we can resolve these issues that may be in our lives. Take care of them right now in the name of Jesus. Take care of every issue. We will trust you and be obedient to you. And we're going to eat the fruit of the land and be blessed. Thank you, Lord. We're just going to turn loose of our own ways of doing things. We're just going to let it go and pick up your mantle. And we're going to trust you 100%. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, I know there are many people here in this congregation that meant it. That they're laying their own path aside and they're picking up your path and going your way. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You're a good God. Your plans are good towards us, not evil. They're good. So we come out of this smelling so well, doing so good, that the rest of the world looks at us and goes, how is it that you're prospering when everything else is falling apart around you? And we can point to you, because it's your path. Your path is narrow. It's not wide, it's narrow, Jesus said. It's a narrow path. But how sweet that path is. It's full of abundance. It's full of deliverance. It's full of healing. It's full of so much. And Jesus, you're the path. Jesus, you're the door. Lord, if we don't get it through you, then it's not worth having. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Totally yielding to you. We declared when we became born again, we said that we believe in our heart that God raised you from the dead, and we're saying with our mouth, you are Lord of our lives. You are Lord. And we are disciples, disciplined followers of you. Thank you, Lord. We're not just converts. We're disciples of yours. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So we lay down our own will and our own ways of doing things and our own crafty ways, and we're going to completely surrender to you in the name of Jesus. Is there anybody here that does not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? This would be a great time to get born again today, to set your feet on the right path. Anybody at all?